السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. ونشهد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ، ونشهد ان سیدنا ومولانا محمدا عبدہ ورسولہ. علماء کرام، موسٹ ریسپیکٹڈ ویلز، اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ کریٹڈ اس فور عبادت ان دس ورلڈ. آف کورس دوز سسٹرز ہو آر لسننگ اوور ریسیورز ایٹ دی مدرسہ آلسو، اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ ہیز کریٹڈ اس فور عبادت، اینڈ عبادت از دا فلفلمنٹ آف دا لاز آف اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ ان اوور لائف. Now, over the past 2-3 weeks of Ramadan, on Sundays, we have been discussing one or two masalas, some rules with regards to some issue or the other. Last week, what did we discuss last week? Zakat was discussed, and the week before that we discussed something. So, some masala or the other. It's obvious we cannot cover up the whole of Deen in 45 minutes. But just some letters or the other that come through, and some thing that's relevant to our times, we discuss on these Sundays. So it is mas'ala. Because sometimes they say that I read in the kitab that masala. So it's not masala, it's mas'ala. But of course sometimes people make it into masala. They mix up a lot of things. They read something and understand something else and make it into masala. So something that is very, very common, and I am coming across it almost every week, 2-3 letters of that kind come from local people or outside, which is related to our inheritance issues. Inheritance is not something that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala left to our desire, that we will decide who is the one that is deserving the most, then in the will we will leave for him the most. And who is deserving the least, then we'll leave the least. Or somebody with whom we do not have much contact, much ta'alluq, because of some family problems and squabbles. So now that child we want to deprive, so we exclude from the will. Or sometimes the wife is excluded. Sometimes parents are excluded. Now, I cannot go into all the detailed discussion. You must ask the Mufti Sahibs and put things right. So this exclusion is not in our hands. It's not in our control. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has decided who should get what. Wealth which is given to us, when we start saying it's my wealth, my wealth, my wealth, that's when all these issues arise. Because then the person believes that I work so hard, all my life I was burning the midnight oil. I traveled here, there. I made purchases for the business, for the company. And I made my business grow and progress. Now I don't even have the right to leave everything to somebody or the other. So that comes when we think it's mine. But when we believe that it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's, and He has given it to us as an amanat and as a trust. So if somebody has been given something as a trust, so he has the right of usage in accordance with the conditions that the trustee has given the amanat. The person who it belongs to, the conditions that he made, he says, this is my car, I give it to you as a trust, you can use it, but you can go only from here to Pietermaritzburg. I don't want you to take it and go from here to Zimbabwe and Malawi and other parts of the world. So now that much is it. He can use. The same with all other things which are in our hands as a trust. Certain things we cannot even use if the person makes the condition. He says, I'm just leaving it to you as an amanat for no usage. Then nothing. You can't even use it. So wealth is a trust in our hands. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, out of His kindness and ihsan, He gave us some kind of property rights, that you have some right over it. But as far as the distribution is concerned, after a person's death, then that Allah Ta'ala has already outline in the Quran Sharif. And if a person does not do according to that, then very severe punishment is called zalim. They have done great injustice. And many other things that have been mentioned in the Quran Sharif and Hadith Sharif. I'm not going into those details. So there was a whole lot of issues that arose in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And then the verses of the Quran Sharif were revealed. It was at Aus bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala that he passed away. When he passed away, he left behind two daughters. And he left behind one son who was a minor. And he left behind a wife. Now until then, the ayat and the verses of the Quran Sharif were not revealed with regards to who should get how much and what is the distribution. It was not revealed until then. So now look at the society of that time. It was like the survival of the fittest, as we all say. These women folk who are saying rights, rights, and they're asking for rights which Sharia did not give them because there was goodness in it for them. But other rights, look at how much Sharia gave. Now here is a woman, her husband has passed away. Now he leaves behind two daughters, leaves behind a minor son, and leaves behind a wife. But none of them get anything. The paternal uncles, sons, cousins, they come in and they take away everything. Why did they deprive them of everything? Because they said as far as the wife is concerned, she's a woman. And as far as the woman is concerned, she has no rights. So as a woman, her rights went. Then those two daughters, their rights also went. Because as girls, they also did not get any kind of share. Then as far as the minor son is concerned, so because he was a minor, so his shares also went. So there was absolutely no share for the wife, for the daughters, and no share for the son also, because he was a minor. And these cousins came and took over everything. She even pleaded to those cousins, that means those paternal uncles, sons. She said, well then marry my daughters, at least marry them, so that they can also get something out of their father's wealth. So they were not even prepared to do that. So she went to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and she complained that this is what has happened. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam waited, and then the ayat of the Quran Sharif were revealed. لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبُ مِمَّا كَسَبْ. Complete ayat of that if the husband, if the male person leaves behind something and all the details that go with it in the ayat of the Quran Sharif, we can't go into the details. But that was before the ayat came of يُسِيكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ لِلْذَكَرِ مِثْلُ حَزِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. So first of all, of course, there were some shares that was fixed for them, that they have a share. The ayat of the Quran Sharif with regards to how much of shares were then revealed. Now all those details are mentioned in the Quran Sharif, it is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, and every book of jurisprudence and fiqh has details of that. And it is the duty of every Muslim who has got some wealth that he should read those ayat, read those verses, try and find out what is relevant to him and thereafter make his will. So when a person dies, then first thing that has to be paid is his debts. Whatever the debts are, if there's nothing left after payment of the debts, then there's nothing. The dead person's debts must be paid first. If there's nothing left after the payment of debts, then there's nothing for the heirs. Now many a times people are sitting with properties belonging to the deceased, and since there is no clarity, I think that's what we were discussing last week, there's no clarity that exactly to whom what belongs. So the father is gone. Now there is nothing to prove that this belonged to so-and-so, belonged to so-and-so. So people sit with it and then they think that they are enjoying life. In the meantime, they're putting fire in their bellies. They're putting fire in their bellies because sometimes it could be yatim children involved. So according to the Quranic scheme of distribution, or when we talk about miras, first thing is the payment of debts. After the payment of debts, then if the person has made some wasiyat, then that is fulfilled. But the wasiyat must be from one third of the estate. Just one third. A person cannot make wasiyat for more than one third of his estate. Even if he has said, my whole property must now go away after my death to this son or that daughter or my wife, then it is not valid. only up to one third is wasiyat, and furthermore wasiyat cannot be made for those people who are legitimate heirs in that estate. Quran Sharif has already fixed the shares of the father, the mother, the husband, the wife, the children, male or female. Now these people's shares are already fixed. After having received their fixed shares, then sometimes, if there's nobody else surviving, like sometimes there's brothers and sisters come in, if there are no children, etc. But those are details, and what happens is in the bayan, if we have to discuss those details, people don't understand. Sometimes they get the wrong end of the tail and everything gets mixed up. So that's why I'm only mentioning the usools here. That those people whose shares are fixed according to the Quran Sharif, the husband, the wife, father, the mother, the male children, female children, the different shares that are fixed. So now we cannot make wasiyat again for them. They will get that which is fixed for them by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now you can't put in the will that further to the share that my son will get, I also hereby bequeath my car to him, or I give so much of gold and silver or that property to him. You can't do that. It has to be for others who are not entitled to a share in that estate. And in that one third, then the person can bequeath for masjid, madrasas, and for his zakat, for his fitras, or for some namazas that he has missed. He's making the qazas, but in case some is still left over, then he can say it, some fidya must be paid, or some kafara has to be paid. Now that all is from just that one third. So this is not in our control. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has finalized whose shares are what. It's only that one third wasiyat. Now that is in our control. We can give as long as it's not a wasiyat for something that is haram. For anything that is haram, or anything that is forbidden, anything that according to the Sharia, Quran and Sunnah is not permissible, then a person can't make wasiyat for those kind of things. Now this is the issue. That what we are dealing with is that a number of wills which have been made years ago, they only surface after the person's death. Now these days at least we have some kind of conscientization that lots of people have become conscious now. And many people are making their wills according to Islamic law, Sharia, according to the Islamic law. But still there are many people who have wills that were made by the grandfathers, made by, and those days they used to go to the non-Muslim attorneys, and even at present many of them still go there, and they tell them, I own this, I own this, I own that. Now he says, no, I think, you know, this son you must make sure that this is given to him. You must make sure this is given to him. So all that a person can do in his lifetime, but even in his lifetime he must not make a kind of gift to deprive the others of their rightful shares after his death. Now, he knows he's got children and they all are entitled to certain shares, but just to deprive the others, now he gives away everything in his lifetime to somebody. And in the meantime he controls everything. He controls everything. So if he has given it away as a gift, then what kind of control is this? So if it is done to deprive somebody, it is not permissible. But if some daughter is poor, some daughter is a widow, or someone is divorced, and somebody has got some other kind of weakness, sickness, pain, suffering, and the father knows that if I do not give this child a little more than the others now in my lifetime, so then this child is going to suffer, because he's handicapped, or there may be some other kind of problems. So now for these type of valid reasons, if a father gives a little more to some child or the other during his lifetime, and as an outright gift, that is the bottom line. It must be an outright gift. It must not be mentioned in the will that upon my death, this child will get this or get that. So then that is permissible. But if it is just to deprive the others, then it is not permissible. Now the people say that, I don't have any children. One person was telling me, I don't have any children. I said, so then what? They said, what do you think? My wife must only get one quarter, because if there's no children, then she will get a quarter. So must she get only a quarter, and my brothers and sisters will take away everything, and those brothers don't even come anywhere near us, they don't even help us in any way, and we have got a lot of problems. So I said, all those problems in its place. But you can't change this. The Quranic scheme of distribution is final. But what stops you from giving your wife if you say that she is going to get that much and how she is going to survive and all that? That is Allah Ta'ala, He will provide, she will survive. But if you have got so much of love as you say for your wife, then what stops you from putting one property in her name? Nothing stops you, but shows you got more love for the property than your wife. Because you are fearing that what will happen if I die first. So then, make a balance of things, give some to her, keep some for yourself, and then after your death, the others will get the share according to Islamic law. But you can't put in the will. Yes, in your lifetime, you can give it as an outright gift. This was a question that was posed to many, many muftis and many, many scholars of Islam. And Qazi Mujahidul Islam Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, when he was down in the 1970s, then there was one program that was held at the Orient in which this question was again asked. And then he said that there are many solutions. And one of the solutions he recommended, he said that what happens is that I see in India, Pakistan, South Africa, many places, if you have to ask the old people that how much mehar you paid, how much mehar did you give to your wife, dowry, at the time of marriage and nikah, then it is sometimes so little that it is laughable. Now, that was not the purpose of mehar. I recall in my childhood days, we only heard one amount, 12 pound 15 shilling. Whichever nikah took place, it was 12 pound 15 shilling. 12 pound was 24 rands at that time, and 15 shilling. Yes. Now for years and years, that was the only mehar we used to hear. Now we hear so much gold and so much silver and so much rands and all those kind of things. Otherwise, those days it was at 25 rand. How they worked out, probably it was mehar fatimi. But then for years and years, no fluctuation. 12 pound 15 shilling, never changed. So in any case, so he said that what we see is that there is hardly any payment of mehar. And those wives accept it because they don't know much about the masail also. They think, well, that is mehar finish. Whereas they have a right to say that I will marry you, but you give me so much mehar. So in any case, now if the person had a very low mehar fixed at the time of nikah, then he can increase that any time in his life. It's not that at that time now he declared that as a mehar, so finish, that's the end of the story. Now he doesn't have the right to increase. He has the right to increase. So if a person had paid 25 rand, he paid 100 rand, he paid 500 rand or 1000 rand, whatever he paid as mehar, and now he's got thousands of rands, and he says that my wife, she has been very loyal, very faithful, and she has worked together with me. So now he can increase that mehar. He can write it down and say it verbally also and make somebody witness over it also. And say that upon that this mehar which I had given to my wife, I am now increasing that mehar from that 1,000 to 100,000. The person has got plenty, now he wants to give 100,000. And he was going to put in the will that I am giving my wife 100,000. So instead of that, he increases the mehar. That mehar means that it's going to be a form of a debt, a liability now upon that husband, that he has to pay that which is mehar. So just as he's got other debts that he's owing this person, owing that person, owing that person, so as a first charge from his estate now, that mehar will also be paid. So she will get her quarter share if there's no children, or her 1/8 share if there's still children, but together with that she will get this also. So how simple and easy. Why put in the will there and become sinful and get punishment in the akhirat and even in this world, the azab, for making such a kind of un-Islamic will. So he can increase the mehar. Then if it is a business, he can give her proper shares in that business. If he gives her proper shares, not just on paper. So she'll get that also, plus she'll get her rightful share. So these shares are fixed. Now many, many people are depriving either their parents or others who according to the Quran Sharif should have been getting shares. Many people don't even know that fathers and mothers have shares. We say, what does my father need? He's quite old now. What does my mother need? She's quite old now. And we're taking care of her as it is. And we're taking care of him. But who knows who is going to go first? So many old people have seen so many of their grandchildren gone from this world. So many old people are living. They're in the 90s, 100s. And their children have gone, their great grandchildren, some of them are gone from this world. And yet they are living. So nobody knows who is going to go first, who is going to go afterwards. So the issue here is that we must be careful with regards to our wills. It is important that we understand that first the payment of all debts and liabilities, thereafter comes the wasiyat from 1/3, and then these shares which the Quran Sharif has fixed, that if it is a father and mother, there are three different situations there. That the father and mother are there, but there are children surviving, there is a wife that is surviving of the deceased. So now this share is going to be different. They are going to get 1/6. And if there are no children surviving, no brothers, no sisters surviving, no wife surviving, then the share is different. Then the father will get 1/3, the mother will get 1/3, and the father will take the 2/3. Then there is a third situation also, but I don't want to confuse you with all this. Then with regards to children also, that 2:1 is not all the time. That means if there are boys and girls, then it is 2:1. But if there is only one daughter, then she will get half. And if there are two or more than two daughters, the two daughters will share in 2/3. Now all those details are there, as I mentioned earlier, that in programs of this kind, when you go into too much of detailed discussion, people sometimes mix up, confuse. So therefore the whole purpose of it is to encourage that we should make our wills according to Islamic law. Now, many people think that it is something very, very difficult to do, and we have to engage lawyers and attorneys and spend thousands of rands, then only we can make up an Islamic will. It's not that difficult. Yes, of course, if a person has got a lot of properties and a lot of investments and a lot of this and that, and he wants to sort out all those matters in his will, it's a different thing that he mentions everything, what is what and all that. But generally, for a Muslim, Allah Ta'ala's Quran Sharif and the deen of Islam is for everyone. Look at our sighting of the moon. A person is in a village, he can look up the sky and look for the moon. Doesn't have to employ any kind of special gadgets and equipment to go and search for the moon. Because everybody has to fast in the world. So therefore Allah Ta'ala made it easy. When it comes to breaking the fast or making Eid, again look at the sky and look for the moon. How simple and easy. Whatever is necessary for the human being and for necessary for the Muslim, that means it's anything that's extremely important. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala makes it extremely easy and simple to understand. It is we who make things very, very difficult and complicated. Otherwise, where did people in the past really go and look for attorneys and big, big senior counselors and big, big lawyers and spend thousands of rand and then come up with some kind of will? Those days people had so much of sincerity and so much of trust that you could have just said it verbally also in presence of one, two people, and that was sufficient. They would have said, yes, that is true. My father made this wasiyat, my mother made this wasiyat. Or this is what belongs to me, this is what doesn't belong to me. They were honest, they used to come up and say that this is what the person had kept with me as amanat. And nobody else knew because he didn't want his son to know, he didn't want his daughters to know, he didn't want his wife to know. So he left it with me. But this was trust with me. So therefore this person has passed away and now it belongs to the children. They used to come up like that and hand it over. And today the person has to search. And after some years, sometime he comes up with some small piece of paper somewhere in the father's safe or some father's papers, and it's written there that this person is owing me so much money. This person I had left this gold coins with him. This person I had left this with him. Now there's a fight and there's a world war that starts. So there was a lot of trust. So therefore there was, even if they said it verbally, it was accepted. Although we are told must reduce it to writing. So for ordinary laymen, like us, ordinary Muslims, it is simple and easy. Anything that is most important, Allah Ta'ala makes it the cheapest. Look at oxygen. Oxygen is required by everybody. Nobody will survive if there's no oxygen. Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, look at the amount of oxygen that He provides free of charge. When a person is short of oxygen, then see how much he has to pay in the hospitals for it. But Allah ta'ala's whole system, that look at all the leaves of the trees, in the jungles, in the forests, in wherever the trees are, even they, when they, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's hukam works, and Allah ta'ala's industry it is, that at night they are producing carbon dioxide, and in the morning, whatever science can talk about photosynthesis and all what we learned in our school days, but the fact is, who is it that is bringing about that photosynthesis and everything else that we are talking about, that those leaves of the trees are now producing oxygen in the morning? Who is it that informs those leaves of the trees that all night you produce carbon dioxide, now switch over? And what a switch over, that wherever the tree is, knows now we must produce oxygen. And nothing, nobody has any kind of a switch there, that now he goes to the trees there and starts putting a new, turning the switch on and off. And if there is some kind of announcement, I always say, if there's some kind of announcement that has to be made, even if you use all the radio stations of the world, all the TV stations of the world, and every thing that you have as media, use every source and say that I want this message to get through to each and every person in every corner of the world. Impossible. Impossible. Even in the small locality around there, everybody won't hear it. Somebody's TV may be off at that time, somebody's radio station may be off at that time, somebody's receiver may be off at that time, or somebody may be sitting in the toilet and smoking at that time. Different people will be doing different things. So now they didn't hear that announcement. And here every leaf of every tree in the morning now heard that announcement of Allah Ta'ala's angels, and now you must start producing oxygen. So something that was extremely important in the life of every person, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made it that simple, that easy to receive. Thereafter comes water. It is just that with all our corruption in our governments and the municipalities, the price of water has gone very high. Otherwise Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had His system, the rivers, the lakes and the wells. Even now, you go to many countries, what water they use? They just bore a hole into the ground and they're pumping with their hand and they're getting water. So water was something that was a need, and an important need after oxygen. So that is also made easy for the people to obtain. Allah Ta'ala sends it from the skies. It's just that our sins, because of our sins, the whole Nizam has changed. In India, there was a time, I'm talking about in the 60s when we were there. Make this volume little low. In the 60s when we were there, at that time, some of the jalsas that used to take place at the grounds in Delhi, massive, massive crowds, hundreds of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people, half a million people, quarter million people. And they never used to make any arrangement for any tents or anything of that kind, nothing, open air. Why? Because they said the monsoon only starts in a certain date in July or June, whatever it was. Now they expected the rains on time. And for many years, it was exactly like that. That those jalsas, no rain ever came. And if it came to, it must have been just a slight drizzle to cool up the whole atmosphere, that's all. Now there was nothing. When people were obedient to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when there was a lot of ibadah, zikr, tilawat and istighfar and tawbah and nadamat, and when there was haya and shame and modesty, then even the skies, everything came according to man's needs. That they knew when the rains will come, they planted their crops accordingly, they went to the fields accordingly, they did the plowing accordingly, and then they knew when to reap also. I spent 7-8 years there, I know, in one of the villages that we should go and spend our holidays. They know exactly, they go this time, and then they wait. And the rain comes on time, and everything takes place on time. But since our sins increased, and all the Bollywood movies and all increased, and so much of behayai and shame and immodesty, and those homes in which the tilawat of the Quran Sharif was something that was heard early part of the morning, from this end to that end of the village, if you went, we heard the tilawat of the Quran Sharif. Now all those things, when it vanished and disappeared from the lives, and now everything is starting with the television. So what happened? The whole system changed, the Nizam changed. Where it used to be very hot, it became very cold. It was very cold, In those seasons it is very hot. And when there was no rain expected, it floods. And when there was supposed to be some kind of rain expected, then at that time there's no rain. And they say 20 days gone, no rain, as yet there's drought and we don't know what is going to happen. Our crops are going to all suffer. Everything is changed because of we changing. When we change, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes the whole nizam. The majority, if they make amal, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also the reaction is different. So this virasat, we were discussing, that is extremely important. It's not something that is in our control. There was one estate, a 70-year-old estate, and I was given to do the distribution or work out the distribution. Now 70 years. Now we have to find out right from scratch that when that old man passed away, then who was surviving, then how many children he had, then what about the grandchildren, then if those children died and they left behind some wife and some children, now trace them, and if they have passed away, then who? Now it went on and on, took hours and hours or couple of days. And then it cost me more than the working out of that this distribution. Somebody was entitled to 20 cents. From an estate of couple thousand, he was entitled to 20 cents. Why? Because it comes right down who passed away, grandchildren and whatnot, in some grandchild's estate, he gets 20 cents. Now to send that distribution, this thing to those that were surviving, it cost so much of postage. So therefore we must make things right, put our wills right. And I was, as we came back on track, so I was saying for the Muslim, Allah Ta'ala has made things easy. That there is no need, we must not get frightened and scared that now it's a very difficult thing, how are we going to really put our affairs right? The person who is an ordinary Muslim, like us, and or he doesn't have anything really lavish, simple and easy, as I said, that in his lifetime now he sorts out if he wants to give some child because the child is deserving. The child is sickly, the child is divorced or something like that, then he gives it now as an outright gift. If he's got love, then he must give it now. If he doesn't have love, then why claim that he's got a lot of love and he'll put it after his death so that he can sort out. And the rest of it, it is simple and easy. As far as debts are concerned, then make sure that we make a note of those people to whom we owe monies. That is very important. Lots of people, they pass away and there is no documentation, there is no receipting of anything, there is no evidence of. So therefore, when the heirs make some claims, they say, no, my father wasn't owing you. So if we are owing anybody monies, then make sure that we state clearly. So that will be paid first. If there is any wasiyat, then make it very, very clear that this is the wasiyat. And as I mentioned, you can't make wasiyat for the father, for the mother, for the son, for the daughter, or the husband and wife. They can't make wasiyat for each other. They will get their share according to the Quran and Sunnah. After they have got their share, again, in certain cases, some of them get again whatever is left over if there are no brothers, sisters. There's a whole scheme that is, again, detailed discussion, find out from the muftis and ulama. But the fact is, after that it is simple and easy. The remainder of my estate, the residue of my estate, must be distributed in accordance with the Islamic law of Sharia, or the Quranic scheme of distribution. And what the shares are of the heirs, must be determined by the Jamiatul Ulama, or some Mufti Sahab, for somebody who is proficient and learned scholar and he knows the scheme of distribution, then you put it onto his head and finish. That upon my death, the distribution or the shares and who are the heirs and what will they are the rightful shares. So some organization or some body, Darul Ihsan, some Mufti Sahab, some anyone that is reliable, trustworthy and expert in this field, any good mufti, any reliable alim. So then he will now, when the attorneys will send it to him, he will give a ruling and that will go to the master and the distribution will take place according to Islamic law. That's all simple. There was no expenditure incurred, nothing. You can write it yourself, put two witnesses there, but just get the details as to exactly what will make that will valid. Because there are some regulations where somebody can contest it. So the two witnesses, according to their regulation, have to be present and they have to sign there, and every page has to be witnessed. All those things, of course, you can follow. But there is no real need to go to some attorneys who will now charge exorbitant fees just to draw up a 2-3 page will. Others, of course, as I said, that if they've got many things to discuss, then they can discuss it with those mufti sahabs. So this is not something that must be taken lightly. It is something that's very important, and because of our not fulfilling this obligation, there are lots of problems, lots of problems. Because what is happening now is there are some who are wanting according to Sharia, and some still say, no, my father's wasiyat, he made this will, and the person knows that according to this government law and regulation, he will get more. So at that time, he will say, I want my father's wasiyat. But if he is getting more according to the Islamic law, then he say, are we not Muslims? Don't we have to go by the Quran and Sunnah? Maulana, is it not for us to fulfill this obligation? So that time we become very good Muslims. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us a true understanding. So for today's majlis, this is sufficient that we take this lesson. That whosoever, whatever he possesses, after his death, it belongs to the heir. After payment of debts and liabilities and payment of wasiyat, from 1/3, then it belongs to the heir. He cannot really decide as he wishes to. Wealth belongs to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He has made us trustees. So our ibadat is dependent on that. Our roza, zakat, hajj, namaz, zikr, tilawat, we accumulate so much of sawab. And then if it comes through in a haram way, this kind of inheritance, people are taking what is not due to them in a haram way. So where will the sawab of all that ibadat remain? Therefore no noor comes into the house. If we have to just go back, we will find that so many estates were distributed un-Islamic. Those people are quite happy, they thought they got a lot of wealth. But in their lives, then see how much of problems, how much of difficulties, and how much of fights and quarrels and arguments. Nigahe aqreba badli, mizaje dostan badla. Nazar ek unki kya badli, ke kul sara jahan badla. It is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when he turns away his glance of mercy and rahmat, then finish. After that, fights, quarrels, arguments, everybody turns away the peace. May Allah Ta'ala protect me, protect you and the ummah at large. So to learn some mas'ala of deen also, it is better than a 1,000 rakats of nafil namaz. Better than 1,000 rakats of nafil namaz. So waaz, bayan, we hear all the time, sometimes this important masail also must be learned. But of course we don't go into great detail with regards to masail in open majalis of this kind, because it creates confusion. People get the wrong end of the tail, as I said sometimes. But it encourages the person, and now you go to the mufti sahab, go to the ulama and say, this is my situation. And alhamdulillah, up till now, Allah Ta'ala has given the ulama that kind of yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala as being the provider of the rizq, that, and the desire to make khidmat, that they don't charge for all this type of consultation. Because if they have to start charging for all this consultation, then it will run into thousands of rands also. So it's all free of charge in the majority of the cases. Go to them, ask them the masai, it will make our life more peaceful, more happy, and more rewarding, inshallah Ta'ala. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المكرمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most compassionate, most loving, most caring Allah. Forgive each and every one of us our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly, unknowingly, in the light of day of darkness. Forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, of our heart and mind. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Give us the tawfiq to make amal on the teachings of the Quran Sharif and the teachings of Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give us the realization that peace, happiness, contentment and satisfaction depends on obedience to you and your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give us wealth which is of barakat. Ay Rabbi Kareem, give us wealth which is of barakat. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. Protect us and safeguard us from stealing, from gambling, from embezzling of funds, from taking what is not due to us. My beloved Allah, give us the tawfiq to understand that rizq which is halal is full of barakat. Rabbi Kareem, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Give us the tawfiq to make amal. Ay Rabbi Kareem, those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Well, we are spiritually sick, we are physically ill. Give us complete shifa from all our ailments, sicknesses and diseases. Rabbi Kareem, cure us of our spiritual ailments, clean and purify our hearts of malice, greed, pride, arrogance, envy, jealousy. Bless us with barakat in our businesses, in our homes, in our life, in our time. Remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain and suffering of mankind around the globe, whether it is due to drought or famine or flood or any other disaster. Especially, my beloved Allah, the Ummah of Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Palestine, Pakistan, Somalia, Sudan, Afghanistan, Iraq. Ay Rabbi Kareem, unke mushkilat ko dur farma, pareshani gham ko khatam farma. Unke halat ko, ay Rabbi Kareem, badal de, badal de. Bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam begged for us. Bless the Ummah with that goodness. And all the mischief, corruption and fitna that he asked for protection, protect us and the Ummah of Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the time of our death comes, don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram action. Ay Rabbi Kareem, take us to Medina Tayyibah. Bless us with Shahadat in Medina Tayyibah. Burial in Baqir. If it is not Muqaddar there, wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. You are well aware of the good wishes, desires of each and every one who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the afternoon. Ay Rabbi Kareem, unki nek moral ko pura kar de. Fulfill their good wishes, desires. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering of each and every one who has raised his or her hand. With your fazl and kindness, remove the difficulties, hardship, pain. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in financial difficulties, remove their problems with halal risk. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those who have children, make them nek and salih. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ ترچے پر خطا ہے پر کہاں جائے تیرا بندہ تیرے در پر تیرا بندہ و امید کرم آنا برحمتی کا یا رحم الرحیم. The majlis is over now, but those who wish to sit, there's one masala which was in my mind which I wanted to bring up and just came back now into my mind. Lots of people are inquiring if their inheritance was due to them. So we were discussing zakat masalas last week. So if inheritance is due to them, the person is going to receive 100,000, 200,000 or 50,000 or anything. So now must he pay zakat on that? He hasn't received it as yet, but he pays zakat. Now this is a common question in this month of Ramadan, because lots of people, somebody's father passed away, somebody's mother passed away, somebody. So the masla is straightforward. Until the person does not receive the money, of course if it was not his hayab and nisab, then it must remain with him for 1 year. But if he was paying zakat in whichever month, and he received the money, now that money, if it has come into his hands, so then he has to pay zakat. Whether it came 1 day before that zakat law of his was completed, or it came few days before that, but if it came in before his zakat was due, then he must pay for it. But if it is with the attorneys, they are still solving the problem, they're writing here, there, and they're waiting for some documentation to go through and the master and all those kind of things. So then even if it takes 5 years or 10 years, there's no zakat on it because it is not in his control as yet. is not in his control, then is no zakat. But if the attorney has informed the person that your money is in, your check is ready, come and collect it. But this person doesn't collect it due to his negligence. He says, I'm going for Umrah first and I'll come back, then I'll see. He's got enough money, he's not bothered about it. Then he says, I'm going America, China, when I come back I'll see. Then he says, I was very busy wedding in the family. So if he delayed it like that, and it was there for 1 year, so he's liable for that zakat of that, if it came within his zakat payment time, because it was in his control now. If he wanted to, he could have taken it from there and used it. But if he delayed it, so that's his problem. So these are the three different situations with regards to inheritance wealth. Details, find out from the muftis, inshallah you will get. Assalamu alaikum. Then this other question that says, for those who are at night, you can spread out of the nafil etiquette because you can sleep there. Maybe you'll have to remove the bedding in the mornings. Quiet namaz time. So you're making more space available, but at the same time, consideration of the musalli. It's difficult. I had received so many people wanted to come down for etiquette, Mazar World, Zakaria, Springs, Benoni, there, and everywhere. Only Allah Ta'ala has some good opinion they have. And now we have to accommodate all of them there. What are we going to have? We don't have space. So we can only take 57 people sunnah at the top. After that, the masjid is open and anybody can come. Make ibadat, spend as much time in the masjid as possible. Find some place at night to sleep for a little while. And in the daytime, it's all open. Allah Ta'ala must make it beneficial, Allah Ta'ala must make it such that our hearts light up with this muhabbat and the love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And the i'tikaf doesn't become just kind of eating, drinking and holiday. As far as possible, stay away from unnecessary talk and gossip and chit-chat. Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayh, when people used to go there for Ramadan at the Kaaf, the last 10 days or 20 days or whatever it was. Then when they arrived there, he said, you want to meet anybody in town yet? You want to meet me first. And they said, mulaqat karni ho, mulaqat karlo. Finish. After that, on Eid day we will talk. That's it. In between nothing. Tilawat, dhikr, ibadat. Or shake hands and assalamu alaikum, how are you? Anything you need in etiquette to make khidmat of the others is also sawab. That's about all. There's no world politics in the masjid. Now they say, but it is important, we should be discussing the issues around the globe. So we got the whole year for all that. And after Eid, and discuss all those issues in detail. If something has happened in the world, we'll be informed. We'll make dua. What else are you going to do from the etiquette? Are you going to go out and do anything? It's all ploy of the nafs. We are discussing important issues. In the real Islam, what was his etiquette? It was intense ibadah, and yet he did everything. When there was a need to go, then he went. The Battle of Badr took place in Ramadan. So there is a need for everything. But something that really irritates when they have to talk. And if the person just came to eat, drink and talk. So let us, I will repeat these things later when the others are coming in for the rest of the talk. And by saying it to others, it helps us just to find out some masala, to just sometimes inquire about the welfare of the other person more than is necessary. But today it is nothing but just talk. Some places you go. We used to go different places before. In India, and nothing but such noise in the masajid.
and yet the people are making us wrong. Some years back we had one person, some years back we won't know who the person is, so after that he left you. Every little while, वो container आया कि नहीं आया अभी? Nice promise. Nice, nice permissible. The juries have given permissibility. If there was some need to sign some document or do some deal, or somebody wants to find out something about, must I give this person the check or must I do this or do that? It's permissible. But not in the masjid to scream and shout over those. And almost every day, so then I have to tell him that even if you have to do it, it's off on your phone. But that was in the early days. In the first account that we made, there was on that side, one line there. Over 10 people in there. 8 or 10 people. And I used to be in the corner on the right hand side. That's all. But it was peaceful. So it's nice that has increased a lot of other, accept the good opinion of people and give us all the tawfiq, because sometimes you can do more and others are also reading Quran Sharif and you get the tawfiq of reading, others are making zikrullah, you get the tawfiq of making, others are engaged in durood and salam and you also get tawfiq of reading. If I tell you now that now do this, do that, sometimes it's difficult, the person alone doesn't get some kind of impetus and shock and zawk to do certain things. Let's see what from Asar, after Asar, when we are reading that one para of the Quran, show you 1 1/4 reading, everybody doesn't find it difficult also. One person read, everybody listen. So one Quran Sharif so easily, khatam is made. The same with Durood and Salam, the Zikrullah and the other programs. It becomes easy when you are doing it in congregation sometimes. But the real purpose of that again is to get into khalwat and do it properly. Because the real enjoyment is in that when the person is between, there's nobody in between himself and Allah Ta'ala. Then the enjoyment is different. So first we have to develop that love for khalwat. Khubbiga ilayya al-khala. Nabi raised the other time to go to Al-Hari Hira. And from there was Tulu'a Khurshid, and that's where everything started. يقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق والرجل ذي. So first it was خلوت, then came جلوت. And first you fill up, after that you can only distribute. The person hasn't filled up, what is he going to distribute? Therefore my Shaykh Shahatmi Muhammad Akhtar Sadam Barakatum addressing people like us who sit on members and give bayan. He says, کیوں آ ہمیں کچھ باقی رہنے دے کیا عشق کا دل عشق سے دل مجروح نہیں کیا عشق کا دل میں تیر نہیں جب خود ہی نہیں نور دل میں منبر پہ وہ کیا بسائیں. So the person doesn't have نور in his heart, what is going to distribute from members? So even the جلال الدین رومی رحمت اللہ علیہ نازد ہو, the example they give of the well, that if you keep on drawing and drawing and drawing from that well, in many, many places in India up till now and even here in the villages they have their hand pumps. And you carry on and on and on, after that sand starts coming up. From the well also you keep on drawing and drawing, after that sand starts coming up. So they say you've got to leave it for some time again, so that the water fills up. When it fills up, then again you start drawing. So for us there's a need of both. One side is to fill up, and then again after that the person distributes. Now if we're not going to fill up at all and just all the time just in public, we're not going to. Sometimes the hearts get zulmat because we are not having the time to fill. And when will we fill? We'll fill at late part of the night. Those pumps of Allah Ta'ala's rahmat pour out late part of the night. And that's the time the person will be with Allah Ta'ala and fill up. This is istighfar, tawbah, nadamat. Build up the iman, yaqeen. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala make the remaining days days of rahmat, mercy, forgiveness, and bless us with the rest of dunya and the rest of akhirat. May the dua for my health tour, success and benefit of the programs, and may the dua for you.